family during the time of the Great Depression wasn't able to afford anything but the bare necessities. Christmas time was coming, but that was all they was able to afford. One day, news came that a circus was coming to town. And I don't know about you, but I always like going to the circus. And Kim and I had the experience one time of going to the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, the greatest show on earth up at Hershey. Quite a thing. But at this time, during the circus, the tickets cost $1. But it was during the time of the Great Depression, and the family couldn't even afford the $1. And the little boy came home running, excited, and eager to get the money from his dad. He said, "Dad, will you give me money, $1, to go to the circus?" The father regretfully told the boy, he said, that he could not provide him with that much money, especially when times were hard. But he said if he went out and he worked at odd jobs, he might make enough to purchase a ticket on his own. And he said his dad promised to match whatever money he was able to earn for himself. So the boy worked feverishly. And in just a few days before the circus came to town, he found out he just had enough, $1, to buy the ticket, including his dad, what his dad contributed to him. So with the money in hand, he took the money, ran out to town to buy a ticket to go to the circus, all excited. The day the circus came to town, he grabbed his ticket, rushed to the main street, where he stood on the curb, and he watched the circus parade go by. He was thrilled to watch the clowns, the elephants, and the performers. And a clown came dancing over to him right in front of him. And so the boy put his ticket into the clown's hand, and he eagerly watched as the rest of the parade went by. After the parade, the boy rushed home, told his father that he had been to the circus and how much fun it was. And his father was surprised that the boy was home already. He said, "You're home kind of soon." He said, "Can you tell me what you saw? Describe the circus that you were at." And the boy told of the parade that he went to, that went down the street, and how he gave the ticket to the clown, and then they walked away. And the father sadly took his son in his arms. He said, "Son, you didn't see the circus. You only saw the parade." That story reminds me of so many people at Christmas time. They get caught up with the carols, the trees, the lights, the gifts, the hustle, the bustle, all of that, and they think they are experiencing what Christmas is all about, but in reality, they're only seeing the parade, and they're missing the main event, who Jesus Christ, who brings the true joy. There can't be joy in Christmas at last without Jesus. Many people celebrate it, but they're like they're watching a parade. They don't really get to the main event. Our theme throughout this Advent journey together has been with Christ. It's a wonderful life. And that's why we can truly celebrate. That's why Christmas is wonderful, because of Jesus and what he's done for us. We've been looking a little bit at the story of the movie, but our theme verse has been, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Today, as we focus in wonderful joy, we get to the part of the movie, which is my favorite part, the ending. And if you've ever seen It's a Wonderful Life, no matter how many times I see this movie, and here I'm admitting it to you, I cry every time. There's just something about it gets to me. And after George Bailey had discovered how life was like without him, when Clarence had shown him, if he had never been born, all the people's lives that he had touched, and when he discovered he really did have a wonderful life after all, as bad as things seemed to be with the money situation he was in and being up short the $8,000, and they had the warrant out for his arrest, and as hopeless as things seemed to be, he realized life was still wonderful. He had a purpose to live for because his life really had touched so many. And Clarence had shown him that. And so he says, "I want to live again." And filled with joy, he runs down through the street, and he gets to the sign of Bedford Falls, and he throws his hands up and says, "Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls." And he's running down through the street full of joy because his life had filled, he discovered the meaning. He got home, and his family was there to greet him, and he hugged his family, hugged Mary and the kids, and full of joy. And the end of the story, everyone comes, all the friends, all those that he had touched, had come to the house to give him love and poured out money to have helped him in his time. And he realized, and his brother Harry said, George Beatty, the richest man in town. And the joy that came that he experienced because he realized his life, really, he had something to live for. His life had touched the lives of others. And it was a joyous event as they celebrated. He truly understood it was a wonderful life because the joy was found in a deeper level. And as they sang and rejoiced around the tree, and giving the wink to Clarence there, that the joy that was discovered through realizing it's a wonderful life. But as we look at our theme this morning, wonderful joy, in Luke chapter 2, Luke records for us the greatest event of joy, and that's Jesus coming to earth. And he says that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds who were living out in the field good news, because it's great joy. And that's what we want to look at this morning, the wonderful joy that truly comes with Christmas and why it is so wonderful to us. Why is joy wonderful? Because its promise is declared to all people. It's offered to everybody. Notice what he says. He said, the shepherds were living out in the field, and the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for who? What's it say? All people. That's the whole joy of Christmas, is that the message, the hope, the celebration, what we share is available to everybody. Jesus came so that all can know and have that joy, so that all can experience that special relationship with him. It wasn't exclusive. No one is excluded or left out. And that's the joy of Christmas. When I was a kid growing up, I was, as you know, I've shared that story many times, I was not good in athletics. Now, Ralph was good in athletics, but I was very not good in athletics. And I was always, when it came to gym class, I hated gym class. Because when you would have gym class and the guys would pick up their teams, you know, and you have to pick up what team you want, guess who was always the last one chosen? No one wanted me on their team. Everybody would pick up when they would see me there, and they didn't want to pick me, Bill. And I was always the last one left. I was kind of excluded. I was kind of off by my side. And then they would have to at the end, well, we get him. You know, and sometimes it makes you feel excluded. And in my leadership training that I've gone through in years with Operation Christmas Child and with the denomination, we've had to take these assessment test where they assess your personality and your giftings. And one of the tests that I took came out to the fact that I got tested. I'm going to call it an includer person, meaning that I like to include people and I like to make people feel that they're part of a group. And maybe that comes from the fact that I was always excluded. But the good news about Christmas and about Jesus is nobody is left out. It's a message of joy that is offered to anybody. Good news for all people. And who did Jesus first appear to? The message was first given to shepherds living out in the field. Now we say, what was so important about that? Well, the shepherds were outcasts. They were often excluded by everybody else. They were looked down upon by society. And they lived out in the field taking care of the sheep. And because they were taking care of the sheep, they were considered unclean out there. And they were doing their work, but it was to those, the lowly shepherds, that the message was first given. The first tidings of joy was shared, showing that no one is excluded and everyone is welcome to come. And this true and lasting joy is available. All we have to do is just receive. That's what makes it wonderful, because who do you know in your family and friends around you that still do not know Christmas, or watching the parade go by but haven't experienced the main event? That joy is for all of us and all who will. It's a good promise offered to everybody. But second thing about what makes this joy wonderful is its power changes our perspective. We saw in the story that George Bailey's perspective, when he thought things were hopeless and pretty dark, was pretty low. He wanted to end it all. And when he realized that he had a purpose to live for, that things were not as bad as he thought, and his life truly was wonderful, he had touched a lot of people, it changed his perspective, and that's what joy does. And that's what the joy of the Lord does, is it changes us. In verses 10 through 14, the angel said, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy for all the people, for today in the city of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth lying in a manger." And suddenly the great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest." The joy of Christ's coming changes our perspective because it meets our deepest and greatest need. The angel said to the shepherd, "I have good news for you that brings you great joy, and that is that a Savior has been born." That's the greatest need, and that's what brings joy, is that Jesus came to save us. He came to take that sin away. And the sad thing is, there's many people today that don't know they need saving. And the message of joy doesn't bring joy to people unless we know we need to be saved. If you tell someone they don't know they need to be saved, they don't realize that. Let me illustrate it with this. Suppose I was standing in a long line in the bank, and you rushed in, you grabbed a hold of me by the arm, and you dragged me out of the bank. Now, I probably wouldn't appreciate that. I'd probably shout, "What do you think you're doing?" And you say, "Well, I'm saving you from the bank." I'd say, "Well, that's very nice of you, but I don't need any saving. I'm not in any danger. And by the way, you tore my shirt, you hurt my arm, and you made me lose my place in line." And probably wouldn't be too happy about that. Or you either. But suppose a mob of terrorists had just taken me hostage in the bank, and you rushed in, you got me safely out of the bank. In that case, I would be grateful, even if you tore my shirt, hurt my arm, and made me lose my place in line. What's the difference? Well, in the second instance, I was in grave danger, and I knew if somebody didn't save me, I was dead. And because of that, I had joy. So there's many people around us that don't know that they need saving. And so the message of Christmas doesn't seem to be joyful to them, and they go through it, but they don't experience the joy because they don't really realize that the situation they're in. But the good news is that Christ came to save us. That's the message of joy. And it brings joy to those who discover that we have been redeemed. It also brings light into the darkness. In verse 9, it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now imagine, picture it. It's hard for us to picture this in our modern time with all the lights and the bright lights we have around us, but they were living in a time before electricity. They're living in a time without the lights of the city around them. They had the village of Bethlehem down below, but they're up on the hillside. And in those times, without electricity, the blackest of black. You've ever been to a place where there's no electricity, maybe up in the mountains, and it's dark, you can't see your hand in front of your face? And it was that kind of blackness, it was that kind of darkness that night. And when you're in the darkness, it can be frightening. And in the midst of that darkness, the light appeared. And the angel of the glory of the Lord shone, and with the message of joy. And that's the power of joy, that Jesus' coming changes our perspective because his coming brings light into our darkness. The darkness not only of sin, but the darkness of fear, the darkness of when we feel alone, the darkness of rejection, the darkness of pain, darkness of all that we go through that can envelop us. His coming brings light into that. And that brings joy. Because the light makes us lifts our spirits, doesn't it? When we're in the darkness, you can feel like alone, you can feel afraid. But the light just brightens things. We walked in here this morning, it's nice and bright, it kind of lifts our spirit. And that's what the coming of Christ does, the joy he brings us. And it also dispels our fear. The angel said, don't be afraid, because I have good news for you. There's great joy. We don't need to be afraid. And Satan likes to keep us in fear. And there's many things we can be afraid of. Sometimes we're afraid of rejection. Sometimes we're afraid, what if I speak up for Christ, and what if I'm shut down, or what if someone makes fun of me? Or what if this? And we have a lot of fear in our life sometimes, but he brings Christ that dispels that fear. Perfect love for Christ drives that down. Sometimes we fear the unknown. Sometimes we fear getting older. What's going to happen? Sometimes we fear, what if our finances run out? Things that we fear, but through Christ, we look at him. Joy is not based on the situations we're in. Joy is not based on the circumstances of life. Joy comes from the Lord himself. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that he produces in us, and his presence in around us, surrounding us, and within us. Changing our perspective, chasing away the darkness, dispelling all fear. And in that, promise is offered to everybody. Its power changes our perspective. But another reason why joy is wonderful is because its presence gives life purpose. Its presence gives life purpose. He says in verses 15 to 20, when the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord told us about. And they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby was lying in the manger. And when they heard this, they spread the word concerning what had been told them. And they returned, glorifying and praising God. When they heard that message of great joy, and they discovered that joy into their night, in the light of darkness, their life changed, and they had purpose. And this presence of Jesus in their midst gave them a reason for life. Just as joy gave George Bailey a reason for life, and his life had new purpose. And part of their purpose was to seek him. They said, let's go to Bethlehem and see what has happened, what the Lord has told us about. And they left their flocks and herds, and they went into the city and town of Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and they sought him, and they looked for him, and they found him. And their purpose was to seek him, to know him better. And knowing Christ and having the joy of his life spread in our heart gives us that purpose and desire to want to know him better, to seek after him more deeply, more passionately, to go to the manger, to bow before him, to discover more of his glory, fullness, and majesty, and the wonder of God wrapping himself in human flesh for us. And I tell you, we could spend a lifetime trying to discover the wonder of God wrapping himself in human flesh for us and what all that means. And discovering more and more of that wonder and majesty of God and his love for us in that way. And his purpose in our life to know him better, to seek him more, comes from the joy that has been shed in us. But also a purpose to praise him. His presence around us gives us purpose to praise. It says they returned and they hurried off and they came back, and when they had seen him, they spread the word. And they returned glorifying and praising God for everything which they had seen and experienced. When you experience the joy in the Lord in your heart, and Christ has done things in you and he's changed you, and he's dispelled the fear, he's brought light into the darkness of our sin in our life, and he's brought that and he's made those changes in us, and you experience that joy firsthand, don't you want other people to know that too? Don't you want other people to experience what you did? When you've gone to a good restaurant and you've experienced maybe for the first time and you said, boy, that was a really good meal, and you tell other people about it. Or you have a good doctor and you want other people to know about how good your doctor is, and you tell them. when we experience the goodness of the Lord, the joy of the Lord in our heart, shouldn't we want to share that with others too? If they can experience that same joy that we have in our heart. And that's what the shepherds did. It gave them new purpose. They returned glorifying and praising God for what they had seen, what they had experienced, who they had discovered, the joy that they had experienced in their heart through Jesus himself. And to glorify him. And it brought purpose because their lives were no longer mundane. Look what it says, and don't miss the power of this here when Luke recorded it. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. We read over that, they returned. Okay, so they went back, but what does that mean? Life before the Lord, they met the Lord on the Judean hillside overlooking Bethlehem was pretty boring watching the sheep. They were outcast. Another stinky night watching the sheep and go by. And imagine how boring that would have been for them. But they returned, this time with purpose. Their lives were no longer, they went back to the sheep, but now they went back to the sheep with joy. And they went back to the sheep, tending them to the glory of God. Realizing that in our day-to-day life, we share the joy of the Lord, and we can serve him there and glorify him in what we do. And those shepherds, it's believed, were the same shepherds that tended the sheep that were going to be offered on the Passover in Jerusalem. And those shepherds went back after meeting the true shepherd and found great purpose in what they had done. And their life was no longer mundane, but glorifying him with purpose, passion, and joy. And joy is wonderful because its provision is unending and permanent. It endures. The joy that Jesus brings us, the joy of Christmas, lasts in our heart. On Christmas morning, when we were kids or grandkids, to get up and there's all the joy of coming down and seeing all the gifts under the tree, and there's joy and there's excitement, and the kids get in the presents and they tear open, and there's a lot of joy and there's a lot of happiness. But then after a while, a day or two, that joy fades. The wrapping's gone. The toys break. And the joy wanes. But the joy of the Lord, the joy that Jesus brings, is joy that is permanent, it's lasting, it endures, it's not based on any circumstance we go through. Look at verse 19. Luke made a comment here, under the direction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, about Mary. And it's believed that the source of Luke's information for this part of the story, the scripture, was from Mary herself. And it said that Mary pondered all these things and kept them to herself and pondered them and treasured them in her heart. And she reflected on them, and she reflected back on what had just happened with the birth of her son, of Jesus, and how it came about. She pondered and she treasured that, and she kept that joy in her heart. Why? Because 30 years later, about 33 years later, that baby who grew up was going to hang on. It was going to be the joy of remembering why he came and how his birth came about that would sustain her when she stood at the foot of the cross and watched her son die. And in those hard times, it was the joy of the Lord that lasts and sustains. And when we go through the hard times and the hard experience, it's the joy of Christ that sustains us through those. And it lasts and endures because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the joy of the Lord is our sustenance. And it doesn't wane. It doesn't fade. It's permanent. It's unending. It can't be exhausted. It can't be. And it never runs out. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. It's wonderful. Life-changing. Many people celebrate Christmas. Celebrate, see the parade go by, but they miss the Lord. Tidings of great joy, all found in Jesus, wrapped for us, given as God's gift. We may have true and lasting joy, wonderful joy that does not end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that good news that brings us great joy. Joy that the world cannot understand because they don't know you and haven't experienced it. But it's joy that is available for everyone because you love us all. Oh Lord, those of us that have accepted that and have experienced your joy shed abroad in our heart, realize the change and transformation that that joy brings. That the darkness is dispelled, fear is chased away, and hopelessness and despair is turned to joy and rejoicing because of you. And that that joy is lasting and it endures. It's not based on anything we go through, any hardship, any situation of life, because it sustains us through the good and the bad. Because it's grounded on and built in you. So thank you, Lord, for that wonderful joy given to us at Christmas. And Lord, we who have experienced and know that joy and the reason for why we celebrate, Lord, when you give us those opportunities and we're around the table with family, with friends, celebrating, may we share the reason for the hope and the joy that we truly have, that they too can come to know that joy. So thank you, Lord, for your presence with us, for your joy, your love, your hope, that it goes beyond wonder and amazement of who you are and all you've done. And because of you, life truly is wonderful. And we thank you through your Son, Jesus Christ.